for each and every single person under the sound of my voice is life that will come to pass in their heart, that it will come to pass in their mind, Father. Every vain imagination, every high thing right now that would exalt itself above the knowledge of God, that would try to exalt itself above the knowledge of Jesus Christ, I release the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. We release the name of Jesus, that every name has to bow to, that every tongue has to confess as Lord, that every tongue has to confess as the Messiah, that every tongue has to confess as the Savior. So Father, right now we come to you in humility, God. We come to you boldly to the throne of grace, Father God. We thank you that every attack of the wicked one against our lives is nullified in Jesus' name, that it has no place and it has no power in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father God, that out of the issues of our heart flow what we speak, that the issues of our life come from our heart. So, Father, we pray right now, create in every single one of us a clean heart, God. Take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. God, renew a steadfast spirit within us. Let us have a hunger and a passion for you. If you're in this place, I want you to lift up your hands. I want you to start speaking to the Lord. If you don't know what to say, I want you to just start saying the name of Jesus, because God is alive, okay? Jesus Christ is here this morning. Jesus Christ, his presence is in this place. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And this morning, the Lord would say to you, if you want a reward, all you have to do is seek me. But for those of you who want to sit, for those of you who want to keep running your mind through the things of yesterday and through the things of the past, I can promise you that you're not going to get what you came here for this morning, because you didn't come here to be dry, and you didn't come here to get a stale word. You didn't come here to sit and listen to somebody pray. You came this morning because you needed a miracle. You came to the house of God this morning so you could be in his presence, because the Bible declares that better is one day in the house of the Lord than 1,000 elsewhere. So people of God, this morning I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is alive, that Jesus Christ is powerful. I'm telling you this morning that the grave couldn't keep him down, that the cross, he couldn't stay nailed to it, and that I'm telling you something, he robbed the grave. Jesus Christ robbed the grave. He took the keys of death and hell, and I'm telling you, Luke 12:49, Jesus Christ says this to his followers. He said, I've come to set the world on fire, but how I wish it were already burning. Come on, he's talking about you and me. He's talking about the fire of God that he's placed inside of us. He's talking about how we were already consumed with the Spirit of God, how we were already set on fire, set ablaze with the Holy Ghost. Come on, this morning, you can't sit still. You can't keep quiet. God has already delivered you. He's already taken you out of the miry clay and set you on solid ground. I'm not moving forward till I hear some people this morning. I'm not moving forward until I hear you lift up your voice. I'm not moving forward until you get excited about what Jesus Christ has done. Lift up your hands this morning. Come on, people of God. Lift up your hands this morning.
Equal greatness. Praise him with every instrument that you can think of. And then in the end it says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. So if you have breath this morning, I want you to give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah!
deeply stained with him. Seek you to rise no more. From the master of the sea. He heard my despairing cry. From the waters he lifted me.
To us.
Thank you, Jesus. Last night, my wife and I were babysitting our granddaughter, and she came over, and I guess she's doing this new thing where, you know, you, that little horsey thing, you put the kid on your knee, and you bounce up and down. She came over, and I put her on my knee, and I remember doing that when my children were small, and I did the old bum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum bum bum ba da dum ba da. So I'm bouncing her on my knee, doing the Bonanza song, Ponderosa song. I get done and she says, "More?" So I bounced her again on my knee, did the whole song, and she went, "More?" My leg was tired. I had already done 10 miles on the bicycle. So I switched her over onto the right side and did the bum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum. And she's smiling and wiggling her head. And when she gets done, she said, "More?" Well, my leg's getting tired. But when she said more in that little, "More?" That little way, it just, I had to do it again. I finally got done. I says, "You need to go sit with Grammy. I'm all done." She went and sat with Grammy, and she got down off of Grammy's lap. She walked over and she went, "Bum, bum, 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 bum. More?" And I put her back on me. What are you going to say? Put her back on the knee and bum, ba, da, dum, ba, da, dum, ba, da, dum. Did it 3 or 4 more times and finally said, "My legs are broken." Handed her back to her grandma. When was the last time you said to Daddy, "More? More?" If you earthly parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Heavenly Father knows how to bless you? You see, our heart has to come to this place of more. And just as Grandpa wouldn't turn little baby girl away, and no matter how my legs were feeling, when she said more, it just did something inside of me. And I had to give her what she wanted. More? Today I want to challenge you to ask Jesus for more. You see, we can gain all this world has. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? But when you get more of Jesus, more? Sometimes we get all religious, you know what I mean? But Jesus said, if you want more, you got to be like a little child. Just like little Sophia. More? So I want to do this. Let's do this together. We're going to try that Ponderosa song one more time. How many remember the old Bonanza song? Listen, I can't sing, but you're going to work with me. Ready? Bum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum bum. Bum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum bum ba da dum bum bum. Bum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum bum. Bum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum bum ba da dum bum bum. Ba da bum, ba da bum, ba da ba da bum, bum ba da dum, ba da dum, ba da dum, ba da dum, bum, bum ba da dum, ba da dum, ba da dum, bum ba da dum, bum bum, bum 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 ba da. Hold on, hold on. More? Are you ready? You ready? Do it together. I'm gonna mess you up all week long. You're gonna wake up, listen to this song in your head, and then you're gonna go more. Are you ready? Bum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum bum. Bum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum bum ba da dum bum bum. Bum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum bum. Bum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum bum ba da dum bum bum. Ba da bum ba da bum ba da ba da bum. Bum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum bum. Bum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum bum ba da dum bum 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 ba da. Hold on, hold on. More? You know, don't you? You want to practice? Come on over here. Come here, big guy. Want to ride?
Wonderful.
Dum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum bum. Bum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum bum ba da dum bum bum. Bum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum bum. Bam ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum bam ba da dum bam bam. Ba na bam ba na bam ba na ba na bam. Bam ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum bam. Bam ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum bam ba da dum bam 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 bam. Ba dum. More? Honestly, folks, this is the bottom line. We can gain everything. You can be good and religious. But until you get to the place of more, you're missing the whole point. It's all about you and Jesus, knowing him, walking with him, talking with him. Today I want you to go around. I want you to meet five people you don't know. And this is where I want you to go. More? All right, go meet five people you don't know. Don't go talk to folks you do know. Go find five people you don't know and go, more? They would have done it. I should have grabbed Sophia.
Please don't bring food or drinks into the sanctuary. You may end up like this guy. Thank you for your cooperation.
We want to invite you to come out to Awaken. This is a brand new young adults ministry, ages 18 all the way up to 28. We meet every Tuesday at 6 p.m., so grab a cup of coffee, bring some friends, and we'd love to see you guys come out. And I will do it for you.
All right, it's recording. Okay, we're good.
We're getting it?
Yep, go ahead.
We're getting it?
Yep.
We're getting it?
All right. Hey, HT, if you haven't heard yet, we want to remind you about Pastor Spencer's birthday. Really? As I was saying, Pastor Spencer's birthday gala is coming up April 1st. At the Watkins Glen Harbor Inn Hotel from 6:30 to 9. We want to make sure you have plenty of time to sign up to RSVP at the link listed below. It's $60 for you to attend and to come celebrate with our pastor. Make sure you sign up today.
Hallelujah. We're working with a new microphone. Is that all right? What I need is I need about 100 or 200 of you to come forward real quickly. We need to do a anniversary celebration little video real quick for a pastor that we work with out in Idaho. He helps us out. We help him out. And so we just want to say happy anniversary. They're 34 years today. Is that all right? Could I get a bunch of people up front real quick? Quick. Terry, you want to go right with the TV camera or not that far back? Hurry, really quick. Here we go.
Come on, squeeze in so the middle's not empty.
You guys don't like anniversaries? Come on, you can do it. Come on, everybody. Why are you staring at us? There we go. More. Here we go. We'll do what we got. Now, his name is Pastor Monty and Kelly. Pastor Kelly. So we're going to shout, Pastor Monty, Pastor Kathy, Kelly, happy anniversary. Ready? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Hello, Pastor. Hold on. We got to start over. All right, we're going to shout, Pastor Monty, Pastor Kelly, happy anniversary.
Okay, do the drill.
Here we go. All right, here we go. Tell me when you're ready, Tara. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Pastor Monty, Pastor Kathy, happy anniversary. Cut. Thank you. You guys coming in this week, right? Hallelujah. You know what's really cool is that his tabernacle is associated with so many other churches rather than just right here in our region. God's been so good. My wife and I just returned back from Florida. We're on vacation down there. And what was really cool is last Sunday while you were here, didn't Pastor Chad preach a good word? If you didn't get that, you want to jump on YouTube and get that. It's free. But we were down there. We watched the service, but we were with Bishop Thomas in Margate, Florida, our bishop, as well as Brother Ted Shuttlesworth was there, as well as Teddy Jr. was there. So we had a time last Sunday morning down in Margate, Florida. There, I believe one of their very first services actually has been since January. So within the last 2 months, they went into that building, and they've already grown by 400 to 500 souls. Isn't that amazing? So we just want to give God shout and praise that we're able to be there and celebrate with them. What a great opportunity to be with Bishop, Ted, and Teddy Jr., all in the same building. And I'm believing one day we'll be able to have them all three here. Wouldn't that be great? Praise God. So we want to welcome all of our guests. If you're our guest today, if you could slide your hand up, we're not going to make you stand up or anything, but if you'll just slide your hand up, you're a first-time guest here at His Tabernacle, we want to give you a shout. Come on now. Can we give everybody a shout, all the guests? Now listen, if you did not yet get a mug and all the visitors card stuff, we'd like to bless you with one. If you didn't get one, if you could raise your hand up just to make sure we get one in your fingertips, that would be awesome. There's a young man right there. Very good. We want to make sure that we get that. And we want to say welcome. Can we shout welcome to all of our guests? Welcome. We thank you for being here at His Tabernacle Family Church. We got folks right in the front row too. Pastor Dan and team right in the front row. Another person way back there. My goodness, young man over there. Wow, there's a lot of guests. I think they're running to get more stuff. Praise the Lord. So we're going to make sure we get it all to you before the end of the service. So we want to say thank you. We also want to welcome all of our online campus. Many people don't know. We have about 95 to 100 computers online every single Sunday. So they're from all over the United States. In fact, we have folks from all over the world. We have folks from Dubai that log on, Barbados logs on. So we want to welcome all of our online campus. Can we give them a hand clap as well? Amen. Run. Oh, we're going to do this.
So today is Valentine's Day. It's a day that the world celebrates, and that it's a money-making time for many, which isn't bad for our economy. That's all good. But I just want to say, whether you're single or married in this house, you have never lived an unloved moment of your life. Jesus Christ loves you so much that he was willing to die for you. You are so loved today, and our worship team did a great job at just reminding us of the great love that our God has for us. Every single one of you in this place today, you are perfectly loved by the King of Kings. Amen. We want to celebrate the institution of marriage that God has established. And so today we want to celebrate the longest married couple in the house. In early service, we had a couple that were married 40 years. They don't even look that old, but they were married 40 years.
They were married when they were 12. So.
Well, maybe. I don't know. 40 years. So today in the house, has anybody been married for 25 years?
Woo! Me too.
Oh, we got several 25 years. How about 28 years?
28 years.
We still have 28 years.
Alan, you're not even married.
You're not even married. Just because it was in the skit earlier doesn't mean it's reality.
Here we go.
35 years.
35 years.
Oh,
young couple there. Two, 35.
Okay. 38 years. Oh, we got to back it down. Nobody, you were 38 years?
Do we have a 38, 38?
How many years have you been married?
Oh, my goodness. The Banfield's been married 43 years.
Chris is not even 43 years old.
All right, question is.
Did you marry her when she was an embryo?
Embryo.
Oh, that's awesome.
Anybody been married over 43 years? Oh, that's right.
Oh, my goodness.
How many years you guys been married? 51 years.
51 years. Oh, my goodness. Stand up.
Stand up. Let's celebrate them.
Mr. Palco, we just have a date night little package here for you just to celebrate 51 years of marriage.
Amen.
Wow.
And we put some extra drugs in there, too. Glory to God.
Just chocolate. Now we want to celebrate the youngest amount of time married. I know, Chad and Jade.
I tell Chad and Jade they can't participate.
He's not letting them participate.
If they would win.
I know, family's exempted.
Who has been married under 1 year here right now? 1 year, under 1 year. Oh, we got a couple back there.
Wait, one year.
Really? Oh, that's right, under 1 year.
Very good.
Under 6 months. Trice, you're not even close to being married.
He's six, though. He just turned six yesterday. You're
six
right.
Months.
Happy
How about
birthday.
7 months? 8 months? 9 months? 10 months? Who's got 6 months?
Months.
Oh, that's
yeah.
right, in the back.
Stand
the
right
Mayhoods,
up.
They win. Let's give the Mayhoods a hand clap. Mayhoods, all right.
Here's a nice date night package for you. Congratulations.
We just want to welcome and thank all of those who are, they're making it in marriage. How many of you know marriage is hard? All the single parent people say, no, I can't wait. All the married parents say, oh, Jesus, wait. Marriage is a challenge. But you know what's exciting is when you learn to grow together and make it through. That's true love. Amen? You folks did great on the TV the other day, by the way. Your TV stars. Can
and
we have
TJ
a? I want your signatures. Get her.
Awesome. As we enter into the time of tithes and offerings, I want to share a testimony, a financial testimony in our lives. We've been listening and hearing testimony after testimony this past year in finances and the things God has been doing. And you know, I've tithed since I was a child. I grew up in church. I was born in church. I was in church every single week. We tithe. We were taught to tithe and be obedient to God. Every day of my life, I have tithed. So there is no breach in my harvest. There is no breach in the harvest that God brings into our lives. Now, there are times where you might not understand, and I haven't understood what God is doing, but God is always faithful. So about a year ago,
I had to go to the emergency room. It was 3 months. No, 3 days. 3 days before my insurance kicked in. So I got a lovely $9,000 bill in the mail. Yeah, we got a lovely $9,000 bill in the mail. And I just had such a peace about it, but I still had this bill in front of me. I did everything that I was supposed to do. I appealed to the insurance company. I spent the last year trying to get it taken care of. And a month and a half ago, I got a letter of declining all of those efforts. And I just still had a peace. Like, I don't understand God, but I know. I listened to all those testimonies of finances that God has brought in all of you, and I rejoiced and celebrated. I even rubbed arms with some of you just to make sure. And so 2 weeks ago, I got a letter in the mail, and I had asked the billing person that originally had the bill with me to send me forms so I could fill out for financial assistance or however they work it, where I can get a payment plan or something like that. And so she said, well, you'll be rebilled, and I'll make sure they send that with you. So I get the paper in the mail 2 weeks ago. That $9,000 bill is a $458 bill that is already paid now.
Amen.
God is so awesome and so faithful. You see, what we hold on to is only temporal. All that we hold on to goes towards temporal stuff that's just going to break and break down. But when we put our finances in that eternal slot, when we obey God and work in kingdom finances, there's no breach in our harvest. There's no fear for tomorrow. There's just peace knowing that God is in control. How many of you want to participate with kingdom finances? Supernatural finances over your life. It begins with obedience to God in our tithes and offerings of 10% of all that comes into our households. Stand to your feet this morning. We're going to get opportunity to tithe and participate with kingdom finances. We make our declaration from the Word of God. It's found in Deuteronomy 28. Let's declare this over our finances this morning. It says, if I obey, then I'm blessed going in. And I am blessed going out.
I'm blessed going out.
I am blessed in my storehouse.
I'm blessed in my storehouse.
And I am blessed in my basket.
And I'm blessed in my basket.
The blessings have chased me down.
The blessings have chased me down.
They've tripped me up.
They've tripped me up.
Because I'm a child of God.
I'm a child of God.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Come on and bring your tithes and offerings and participate.
Hallelujah.
With Kingdom Supernatural Finance. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button, or you can even text to give right online.
Every day.
Hallelujah. Is God good to you? I said, is God good to you? Amen. I think God is just awesome. He's been a blessing in my life. And, you know, I'm excited because I love preaching the word. This is a bad problem that I have because I could preach for hours and hours and hours and hours. But today I'm going to try to preach 20 minutes. All right, 30. Okay, 2 hours. I'll just go as long as I can. How's that sound? No, but I want to get a word into your spirit that will change your life. Turn to someone and say, you're about to be changed by the word of God. If you will allow the word to take seed, you will change. Amen. Now, how many believe that? I believe the word will change your life. Young lady, did you get a mug? Oh, man. I want a mug. This is the year of... Boy, that was like nothing. I said, this is the year of... No, you can be louder than that. I said, this is the year of... Kingdom seed. We've been ministering on the kingdom. Last year, we ministered a whole year on Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And that was what? Seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Where we learn that the kingdom is the number one principle to seek. Jesus said that. How many of you know what Jesus said is important? If Jesus said, seek the kingdom first, but you don't understand how kingdom runs, then you got problems. So by saying that, I want to let you know. You can get them for free on YouTube. You can go to our website, go up to sermons. It will take you to our YouTube page. And all of the messages are free. Or you can go out in the foyer. That I believe they have packets of the different messages. You can get 19 DVDs for $75. That way you can watch them, rewatch them, and pass them around. But you must understand kingdom. And one of the main principles of the kingdom that God himself runs by, that God created, was the principle of the seed. Without seed, there would be nothing that would be reproduced of itself. God created seed. God put this principle in motion. And whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, seed time and harvest is always going to be part of your life. Today, you have a culmination of the harvest and harvesting the culmination of the seeds that you have planted. So some of you don't like your life. Some of you don't like the results of your life. But you cannot blame God for those. You need to go back and look at the seed that you've planted in your life and say, am I reaping from the harvest of the seeds that I have planted in my life? We talked about, for the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about how the greatest seed that God has given us is what? Is time. Besides Jesus, every one of us have been given a privilege, and that is God has given us a certain amount of time in our lives. Every one of us have 24 hours. Every one of us have the same 24 hours in a day. It doesn't matter whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you live in Spencer, whether you live in Istanbul, whether you have nice shoes, bad shoes. It doesn't matter what your occupation is. Every one of us have the same amount of seed per day called time, and we all have the responsibility to spend our time properly, therefore being able to reap a harvest that we desire. Most people live life on accident. Therefore, what happens is they're upset when they reap a harvest from their time spent, and yet they get mad at God for what they got. The Lord wants you to know by his principle of word that you and I can determine the seed. You know what I love so much about the scripture? In Corinthians, it says this, that if you sow sparingly, you shall reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you shall reap bountifully. Well, I want you to see this. God himself does not determine whether you reap sparingly or bountifully. The ones who determine that are the people that are planting the seeds. So our lives are not determined only by God, for God already has a phenomenal plan for your life. How many of you know that God doesn't have lack for you? How many of you know that God doesn't have disease for you? How many of you know that God doesn't have discouragement for you? How many of you know that God has a phenomenal plan for your life that will bring absolute fulfillment in every area of your life? That is God's design. And the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. But what this means is we are the ones who determine the destination that we land at by the seeds that we plant and get for harvest. Now, if you're a young man or young woman, I need you to hear me very clearly. I want you to hear this because this is a principle that is not only taught and established within God's word, but is more than understood in the business world. In the business world, people are successful because they are smart enough to hang around people that are smarter than they are. In fact, if you want to excel in business, you should get around people that are beyond you in business, therefore knowing that you'll be pulled into a new dimension because your thinking will be challenged. Listen, even in the sports world, the same understanding is in the sports world. If you play golf, I don't really play golf, I kind of like hack. But if you play golf with a person that you, the same handicap as you, you're not really going anywhere. If you play baseball with the same skill set of a person that you are, you're not going to excel. What happens is you must get around people that are greater than you are. Now, I don't care what anybody says. The world believes this principle, but the church turns away from it. The world understands that where you sow your time and the people you sow your time with are determining the lengths. Come on, you've heard that old statement. If you always hang around turkeys, you're never going to fly with the eagles. The world teaches this, but where did the world get this? The world got this principle from the Word of God. Yet the church world sits back and lets the world be blessed and live by the principle and excel, and the church sits back and lives by accident and just barely makes it by. The Bible verse that we have for the year is called Psalms, is it found in Psalms 1 verse 3, and it says this: He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Turn to someone and say, I want to prosper.
I want to prosper.
I said, turn to someone and say, I want to prosper. Now, let me tell you something. Oh, is this the prosperity gospel? Absolutely. Well, I don't believe in the prosperity gospel. Yes, you do. When the next time your boss offers you a raise, I want you to look at them and say, no, thank you. I don't want a raise. I want you to actually take money out of my pocket, please. So there's nobody in this room that will agree with that, which means that everybody in this room agrees with prosperity. Prosperity is increase. We all want increase in our life, except in our waist belt. Can I hear an amen? We all want to increase, and God wants you to increase. His plan is for you to increase. I was just making fun of our dear sister over here. She's pregnant with twins. And come on up here for a minute. She's pregnant with twins. Ready, watch. I beat her. I beat her. Too much increase. This is where, though, we all have to come to an understanding that God's desire with kingdom seed, with understanding how God's kingdom works, understanding how seed works, the determination of increase has nothing to do with God, but has everything to do with you. The world knows it, God's word speaks it, and the church rejects it. You know what I found is so many of us live deceived. Not that the devil's run around and deceived us. The greatest deceiver in our life is not Lucifer. The greatest deceiver is ourselves. We actually believe, and somehow we've convinced ourselves, that I can live this way and get this harvest. I can plant this seed and get this increase. We actually believe that if we do something that's anti-God, God is still going to have to bless us. And I want you to realize that's a lie. We need to allow the word of God to penetrate our spirit and not be deceived. The Bible declares so clearly, do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If a man sows to the spirit, he shall of the spirit reap eternal life. Don't be deceived. You cannot sow sin and expect that you're going to reap heaven.
You cannot sow peas and think you're going to get corn. Don't allow yourself to be deceived. For the word of God is so absolutely clear with the principles of seed time and harvest. It was part of the Noahic covenant where God said seed time and harvest shall never pass away. You see, the seed time and harvest, we already talked about how much time we have in a week and hours we have in a week and where we sow it during the week time. And if you're sowing to the flesh, you can't expect to get heaven. You can't expect to grow in God if you're not sowing anything into God. Well, I go to church. Well, so does the devil. Well, I believe in God. So does the devil. The Bible says the devil believes in God and trembles. Doesn't mean he's going to heaven. There's a reality that needs to be planted within our spirit by the seed of the word of God, which we're doing today. That yes, you and I have the ability to determine the harvest that we're going to yield through the hours that we have been given. The 24 hours that everybody in this room has today, you have determined in your life to sow 2 hours of that time into your spiritual man. The Bible declares that truly who you are is not your physical flesh, for your physical flesh shall die. It is not your soul, for every person has a soul, but every person is eternal. What is eternal? And that is you have a spirit. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, your spiritual man is dead, and you'll experience what's called the second death, which is being thrown into the lake of fire, because your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But if today you know Jesus as your Savior, if you've confessed Him as your Lord, your spirit man is alive in Christ, and today you are a living, breathing, spiritual person after the heart and the mind of God, for now Jesus dwells inside of you. Can I hear an amen or oh my? In that, we've got to make determinations. The determinations are very interesting because every day in the spending of our time, we spend it with people. Now, I don't know if you realize it, but there are people you should not be spending time with. All two of you said amen. I said there are people you should not be spending time with. You have ungodly people that the Lord does not want you spending time with. Now, let's just talk about time. We've got $24 here, each dollar representing an hour. How you spend your time is going to determine your harvest. So I'm going to take, how many of you sleep? I'm going to take 7 hours. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How many of you sleep only 7 hours or less? Praise the Lord. How many of you sleep 8 hours or more? God bless you. Now, how many of you know that sleep in and of itself has no real eternal value? Can I hear an amen? It is just life. We all sleep. God gave us sleep, actually, in the book of Psalms. He said it's a blessing to us and a benefit to us. So sleep, we could put simply in the godly bin where we're sowing our time. Or if you're sleeping with the wrong person, you see, we are the ones that are determining where we're planting the seeds, even in our sleep. See, if you're sleeping with your bride, with your husband, then that is a godly, blessed sleep. But if you're sleeping with somebody that is not your bride, that is not your spouse, well, we went up onto a mountain and we said, Lord, unite us, so we had sex. You can laugh. I knew a guy who did that. Then he did it with the sister too, so he had two brides. But they both went up on the mountain and had sex. Well, that makes us married. No, it doesn't. The Bible says you got to obey the laws of the land. And according to the laws of the land, you're not married until you say, I do, and you get a marriage certificate. We are the church, right? Okay. We do believe in the B-I-B-L-E, right? I said, God established marriage, correct? So when you're not sleeping with the right person, even though sleep in and of itself does not bring great benefit, it will bring great deterrence and destruction to the seed of your life and your relationships if you plant it in the wrong bin.
It amazes me that people actually believe you can start your relationship off in sin and have God's blessing in it. It is a shock to me the deception that happens in our own mind. Well, we're sleeping together, but we love each other. But you're not married. I wish the church was still in the building. I said, you're not married. When you're sleeping with somebody that is not your spouse, it is called fornication. It is a sin. We don't have the money to be married. You have $25. I would rather be right and have a big wedding later than invest death into my relationship. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Well, now, you know, let's just say you sleep 4 hours with your spouse, but 3 hours with your girlfriend or boyfriend. How many of you know that's still not a good investment? See, this is the principle, that even in the process of sleep, we are the ones that are determining the harvest that we're going to have. We can blame God when our relationship falls to hell, but the truth is it has nothing to do with God. It has to do with how you're sowing even your sleep. You see, this is the delusion within the church. Actually, they did a study not too long ago. That's why I'm harping a little bit here. They did a study not too long ago on the generation that's 35 and below and asked how many of them believe that living together is a sin. And the majority said no. I want you to hear it from the Word of God. It is plastered. Abstain from sexual immorality. Sex before marriage is sin. Sex with the one you're not married to is sin. It's still sin because it's still the Bible. Quiet in here, isn't it? Listen, I'm not saying this to condemn you, but to save you. How many couples I've had to walk through divorce because they've started their relationship off wrong? Ladies, if you're good enough to bed, you're good enough to wed. Can I hear an amen? Well, I don't want him to get rid of me. Baby, it's better to have him get rid of you now before you say I do. Ladies, some of you actually, and I'm speaking to the ladies because men are just dogs. Don't put your worth in what you have between your legs. You are a child of the living God. You are a princess in the kingdom of God. Do not sell out. In fact, I've had couples say to me, we can't afford not to live together. Then cross your legs. Bungee cord up, baby, because he'll ask you to marry him quickly or he'll kick you to the curb. And either way, you're blessed. Can I hear at least a half of an amen? Amen. Toxic relationships always produce what? What is toxic? Toxic means death. My wife always told me, does that mean I only got a minute left? Dear Lord, we're in trouble. Shut the clock off. My wife always told me, she says, you better be good to me. I make your food. She says, you can't taste arsenic. And what's really funny is that a few times when things have got a little intense, she said, I'm making your food. So I'm still not sure. But whether... The truth is that most of us would not go and drink cyanide. We'd not go ingest, come on now, arsenic on purpose. But small ingestion still produces the same results. Listen, we've got to make sure we're not deceiving ourselves. With this only 24 hours that we have, and we're already spending 7 in our sleep, I pray that your sleep is blessed. Then your work. Can I hear an amen? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You spent 8 hours working. Can I hear an amen? I said, you've spent 8 hours working. Can I hear an amen? Those 8 hours can be a tremendous blessing when you understand. The Bible says, redeem the time for the days of evil. A lot of people go to work and they just survive at work. But you need to recognize why you're there. God has you there as a missionary. God has you there as an emissary. God has you there as an ambassador. You're there to do what? Well, the first thing you're there to do is to be the best stinking worker that anybody has ever seen. What does that mean? You're going to have a testimony that people want to be like you. A lot of Christians do this. Well, you know, I'm going to share my faith during my work hours. Share your faith during your work hours by whatever your hand finds to do. Do it with all your might as unto the Lord. That you work so hard that people are going to notice. And during your breaks, lay hands on people, pray for people, witness to people. But man, while you're at work, be the best worker you can be. Can I hear an amen? You now have 10 hours in your day. 10 hours is an amazing amount of time. Can I hear an amen? You see, so many of us are surrounded by different types of people. I'm almost done. Many of us are surrounded by ungodly people. Can I hear an amen? You know, you go to work. How many of you are surrounded by only Christians at work? We do have some. We're coming to work for you. No. Well, church people are raising their hands because they work at the church. Even at church, it's not always pretty. Many of us work with ungodly people. The Bible says so very clearly, I just want to read the verse to you. It says this, come out from among them, be ye separate, says the Lord. Do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. The New Living Translation says it this way, therefore come out from unbelievers, separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. The Bible says in Psalms 1, verse 1, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, nor stand around with sinners, nor join in with mockers. You see, many of us are surrounded by sinners all the time. Listen, he works in the prison. He's got a job and a half. Man, he's seeing everything, hearing everything. But what makes the difference between being around sinners and having the sinners in a bad position in your life is who's the greater influence. When your life is no longer influencing their lives, it means that you're spending your time badly. You're sowing your time into sin because whether you like it or not, if you're hanging around them at the bar, come on, can I hear an amen? You're bellying up to the bar with them. You're cussing and swearing with them. When it's time for you to give a testimony, are they going to listen to you? When they're in a position that they need Christ, they need prayer, are they going to come to you? No. You see, there's nothing wrong with being around sinners. The Bible says that Jesus was a friend of sinners. But what they meant by that was Christ influenced the sinner. The sinner did not influence Christ. See, there are people in some of your lives, ungodly people in your life, that you need to cut off from your lives or you will never aspire to God's greatness in your life. There are some people in your life you have got to cut off. Amen. Well, I don't want them to hate me. I don't want them to think I don't love them anymore. I don't want them to think I'm better than them. Baby, even the world believes if you keep hanging around the turkeys, you will never fly. If you're not influencing them, they're influencing you. And if they're influencing you, are they sowing seed into your life that you want to harvest from? This is a determination in your life. We've got to determine that, listen, I hang around sinners all the time, but they're not going to influence me. I'm going to influence the ungodly, and I'm going to give them the opportunity to know Christ as their personal Savior by my lifestyle and by the way I live and by the way I sow into relationships. I refuse to be around toxic relationships. All two of you said amen.
There's other people that you got to stop hanging around. Nice people. Maybe you know you got to stop hanging around some nice people. You've heard it. You taught it to your kids. They're both great kids, but when they get together, horrible. How many of you ever heard that? How many of you ever said that? But we do it as adults. There are some people that you just can't hang around. Well, why? Because the influence, the seeding of your time is not going to produce greatness. There's another person. The most harmful individual you've got to start working on to transition is yourself. Probably the most toxic person in most of our lives is ourselves. We spend the most time with ourselves. We tear ourselves down. We speak down to ourselves. We let ourselves know that we're not going to be blessed or successful. I want you to know the opposite. You need to transform your mind by the renewing of the Word of God. That's why being in the house is so powerful, because it's not religious. What I'm speaking to you even right now is the seed of the Word of God. Matthew chapter 13. That seed will either land on ground that will not take root and the devil will steal the seed. Or number two, this seed that I'm planting in your spirit right now, it will start to grow, but will dry up because you've done nothing with it. Or number three, the seed is going to get into your spirit. It's going to grow into the ground, but then you're going to love the world more than you love Christ, and you're going to walk away and be choked out. Or you're going to allow this word to get into your spirit, and it will produce 30, 60, 100-fold prosperity in your life. That determination is not God. That determination is you. Amen? Then there are people, godly people, that you just got to get in your life. Can I show you an example? I'm almost done. I need the example. Alan just gave his heart to Jesus Christ. You let the angels out shout you. I said, Alan just gave his heart to Jesus Christ. Now up here, we have two young men that are speaking into Alan's life. They are people that love Alan. They're ministers of the gospel of Christ. They are godly men. And Alan decided that he wants to give at least an hour a week into his relationship with Jesus. So these men start speaking into their life. But this is how most of our lives are after we accept Jesus as our Savior. We have all of these other people still tethered. Come on now. You usually have more from the past than you do for the future. Until you and I determine in our spirit where we're going to sow the seeds of our life, where we're going to allow the greater influence to come, is going to determine the harvest in your life. You see, there is a tug of war going on. And there are people that are willing to invest spiritually, whether it be discipleship, rock solid faith, whether it be coming to Awake or Uproar or coming to one of the other meetings at the church to where you can have your spiritual man built up. They're speaking, but now all these other people are back here. You see, this girl is his girlfriend. He was sleeping with his girlfriend. He was having wild sex with his girlfriend. Now, they're not really boyfriend or girlfriend. It's just an example. Yeah, it's true. Watch now. So she sees Alan get saved. And she says, I don't want to lose my man. So she starts going to Alan and saying, come on, baby, start pulling. She starts pulling on Alan. Alan, come on, baby. You know I love you. You know it's a warm bed, baby. Come on now. Come back to mama. Come on, baby, come back to me. Until Alan makes a determination that he's going to seek Jesus first, she is always going to be a pull from his past. Are you going to let her go or not, boy? He said, I'm trying. Isn't that the way it is in some people's lives? We're trying to cut the people off from our past, but at some point in time, you have got to make a decision that that seed is never going to produce a harvest. Toxic seed produces toxic harvest.
until he cuts her loose. Now, I don't know about you. You're always going to have more. So now you got his party friends. You got the dudes that went out partying with him, man. They grew up with him. They hung out with him. They used to go out, you know, go to the bars with him. Watch now. Even the drug and alcohol rehabilitators tell you this principle. After you've gone through detox, you do not go back and hang out with your same friends. But the church believes, we've deceived ourselves to believe, I can still hang out with my party friends and be fine with God. The world don't even believe that. But the church buys it until he cuts the ties. Oh, I liked him better when he was drunk with me. Oh, come on, man. Alan, do you think you're better than us now that you got this God stuff in your life? Oh, come on, Alan. Man, what's wrong? You too good to party with us anymore? Oh, Alan, man, you've been going, you're going to that cult, aren't you? Going to that cult, his tabernacle. Man, they're telling you cut your friends off. I'm not telling you cut your friends off. The Word of God is giving you the decision where you're going to sow your money, where you're going to sow your time, where you're going to sow your seed. Toxic relationships can only produce toxic harvest. Don't deceive yourself. Well, listen now. Alan got saved. He loves the Lord. But his father's always going to be in his life. How many of you know that you're never going to be able to cut everybody off that's pulling it in the opposite direction? But you have the ability to determine how much seed, how much time you're going to invest in them. It's not that you don't love them, but you determine the time. Now watch. Now, after Alan got saved, he made a friend at church, and that's Carla. Carla's one of these church girls. Now she, no, I'm not talking that way. She's like a spirit, she's like a mother. You know what I mean? But yet every time she's around Alan, all she does is gossip. All she does is backbite. All she does is see doubt and unbelief. All she does is tear people down. Listen, I don't care if they're a church person. If you have a toxic relationship, you're going to get a toxic harvest. There are some Christians you need to cut out of your life. Isn't this the fight, though? Can we just be real? This is the fight. Some of you have gotten saved. I'm genuine. You genuinely love Jesus. You got people pulling you towards God. You got your pastors preaching the word to you straight up, not watered down, not pampering you. You've got a discipleship program. You've got ministries, rock solid faith to train yourself with. You got all this stuff available to you. But you got all these real people from your past that are pulling you. They're trying to pull you away from the kingdom. That seed. You see, where you plant your seed is what you're going to harvest. Please, if I can get this in your spiritual man, I just want it to be seeded, Holy Ghost, seeded in their spirit, because each one of us have to evaluate the people that we're surrounding ourselves with, because once you've spent that hour, you can never have it back. And whether you like it or not, you will harvest. Whether it be doubt, whether it be struggle, whether it be through addiction, whether it be, listen, there's so many ways that we struggle. Soul ties. There's so many ways. Isn't it wisdom? How many of you want to be failures in life? How many want to be successful in life? Not everybody wants to be successful, but that's okay. How many of you want to be successful in life? I said, I've never met somebody who said, I can't wait to be a failure.
I can't wait. I can't wait to lose. I can't wait to be a loser. I can't wait. I've never found anybody with that desire, because the desire is the desire of heaven that is initially put within you. And the desire of heaven that's put within you is that God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be that tree that's planted by the water, whose fruit comes in season, that never grows weary, that never grows lacking, that one, that spiritual person that has prosperity in every part of your life. That is who God created you to be. But God can't make you be even what he created you to be until you determine the time that you have, you're going to sow it properly. Where are you sowing your sleep? How are you sowing your work? How are you sowing your relationships? Are they toxic? I got to say this real quickly. This is not your out of your marriage. I just have to say that. Because I know some people go, see, the pastor said we can be divorced because you're toxic. It's where you grow together. And you build each other, not tear each other down. Can I hear an amen? My challenge for you is simple. How are you sowing your time with the people you're surrounding yourselves with? We all got to work. We all got to sleep. But those 10 hours a day that we have in our hands, how are we sowing that? Are we sowing to the spirit so we can expect a spiritual harvest? Or are we sowing to the flesh? And we're going to get a fleshly harvest. Toxic always produces toxic. Don't deceive yourself. You know, it's really hard because I'm a real encourager. Now, I know the last few months have been really intense messages. But you need to know me. And so let me share me with you. I'll grab you by the shirt tail. I'll give you my shirt tail. I'll do whatever I can do to build you. I believe in who God has called you to be. I do not believe that one person in this building or in this region was ever created to go to the lake of fire. I believe every one of us has been called to be saved and satisfied. Can I hear an amen? I believe every one of us have been called with an eternal destiny that is so pre-planned by God. You were not created 200 years ago. You were created for this time, in this season, at this moment. But I refuse to be a preacher that will just lie and pamper. I believe the greatest way for us to be stirred is to be truly challenged with truth. And so many of us would rather swallow the pill of deception to allow ourselves to pacify, placate, and to validate our actions rather than deal with truth that will truly bring happiness to your life. Do you want to be happy? Do you want to be happy? Happiness is not an accident. Happiness is a harvest. Turn to someone and say, happiness is a harvest. Are you harvesting happiness? Or what seeds have you planted that need to be ripped up? That's powerful truth. Honestly, these three sermons on time, if you genuinely allow God to transform your life through these three messages, you'll be a different person and you'll have what you ask. If you don't be deceived. For God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. My passion is to build you, strengthen you. My passion is to make sure that you're going to be successful. My passion is that you will never live in lack. My passion is that the word of God be planted in your spirit. And I challenge you to take this word and live it. If you live it, you'll be changed by it. It has changed my life. I'm not a farce. I'm not a fake. I'm not a foe. I live life just like you. I get up every morning. I drink a cup of coffee. I go to the toilet and sit down. I have to use toilet paper just like you use toilet paper. IP standing up. Just had to say that. I have to choose to go up and pray or to lay in bed. I have to choose to read the word of God or to get busy. I have to choose, even at the house of God, to live a godly life. I have to choose to have a godly marriage, which is not always easy for her. I have to choose to raise my children right. I have to choose, I have to choose, I have to choose. I choose the seed for what harvest I desire. I refuse to live by accident. And every time I have, I've reaped a harvest that I've regretted. I choose to live on purpose. How about you? Amen? I'd like you to bow your heads with me this morning. I want you to pray with me real quickly. I'm believing for a harvest for you if you've been here for any period of time. This is our, actually today's the anniversary of the church. 18 years. Isn't that exciting? 18 years ago on this day, on this Sunday, there were five of us at the Holiday Inn in Horseheads. It's crazy. But you see, that success did not come because of charisma. It came because of tactical planning, purpose, design. God has that for you. I want you to pray with me this week. This is what I'm believing for. We planted enough seed over 18 years that I'm believing for an increase of 400 to 500 people this year. We planted the seed of the gospel in fairs, festivals, parades. We planted the seed of the gospel through the television for the last 4 years. We planted the seed of the gospel through live stream for a year and a half, through books, through being in the community, through busing in for the last year and a half. I'm believing, God, that this year, this house will increase between 400 and 500 souls. And I need you to agree with me. Amen. We're calling in that harvest. The seeds have already been planted. They've been planted for many years. Now we're calling in the harvest. But maybe that today you're in this room and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. I'm not here with religion. I'm not here to get you to join a church. I want you to be a citizen of God. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He's never washed your sins away. You're living in a toxic lifestyle. And you want God to make you a man, a woman of God that will change your world. If that's you today and you want Jesus as your Savior, you know you're not right with God, and today you want to be right with Jesus. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand up this morning. If you want to get your heart right with Jesus today, I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Is there anybody in the room this morning? I see you, Trice. I'll pray with you too. I know Mommy's already prayed with you and Daddy's already prayed, but we'll pray with you today too. Is there anybody else in the room? Come on. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call. 1. Saint, that means you brought no sinners. That means I got to preach on that, because that means your heart's not towards the lost. Today, with your head bowed and eyes closed, if you know you're not living in a position and you want God to change you, I'm not going to have you come up this morning. Let's all just stand. Let's do it that way. Let's just stand. With your heads bowed as you're standing. If you look at your life today and see that you're seeing more toxic than godly, and you want to change that, I'd like you to raise your hand up right now. Amen. 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 Put your hand right back down. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, today I'm determined to look at my relationships, to look at where I'm sowing my time into people. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to guide me, to teach me, to show me those people in my life that need to be extracted. I want to excel in you, God. I want to be more godly. I want to be that tree that's planted deep in your kingdom.
that my fruit will come forth in its season, that my leaf will never wither, and that whatever I do shall prosper. So I ask you in Jesus' name, you'll direct me to those people that need to be cut off from my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you have the right to obey or disobey when God speaks to you. But I want to do this morning. Father, I release a blessing in the house this morning in Jesus' name. I declare, God, that sickness has no right on any child of God that's in the voice, hearing of my voice. I declare in the name of Jesus that relationships will not decline but will increase with passion and love. I declare in the name of Jesus that our children will follow you all the days of their life. I declare in the name of Jesus that our finances will increase. We'll get raises and promotions, and money will come, God, in ways we've never thought of. Father, I declare in Jesus' name that, Lord, even entrepreneurial passions will be able to rise to the top, and people will start companies and businesses in this region in the name of Jesus. And everybody receiving it shouted, we love you. Serve God with all of your heart. The prayer team's around the front of the altar. If you need prayer, they'll minister to you, love on you, encourage you. Serve Jesus with everything you got.
Oh, I give myself away. Give myself away so you can.